God's art, God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We pray, Father, that your spirit will open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us. They will both encourage us. That it will, Lord, through your spirit, help us to grow in knowing Christ better, living out what it means to follow Christ, and being better equipped to share him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The West is changing and has changed. Ideologies about sexuality, gender, relationships, marriage, and the family. These ideologies are shaping our future and the future of our children and grandchildren. There's no way to escape them. And we shouldn't want to anyway. Here is an opportunity to live out God's way in such a way that makes the gospel attractive to outsiders. All this change comes down to what people call human rights. The great catch cry of our society is the call for equality. Everyone must be equal with everybody else in our society, but we must also feel equal, which means feeling accepted, if not approved and confirmed in our choices by society. How a person feels is not only important in today's Western society, but now shapes everything. The world must conform to a person's reality. Their bodies must conform to their reality. Society must conform to their reality. And no one can challenge another person's reality, not even with reality. Reality has become subjective. And all this is human-centred. Humanity is the one who now decides what is right or wrong, what is moral or immoral, what is acceptable, what is not, what is real or not. Humanity becomes the measure of all things. But Psalm 24 calls us away from humanity as the centre of the universe and declares the truth that God is the creator. God is the centre of the universe and we must respond to his rule. This is the biblical reality that every person must respond to because every person will one day be judged by the God who created all things. Now, biblical reality isn't simply an alternative reality, but reality itself. Confirmed for us in this world by Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Biblical reality never presents God as a local deity solely concerned about a small group of people called the Jews. Yes, it's through the Jews that God would reach out to the rest of the world, particularly through one Jew, Jesus of Nazareth. And the Jews are God's covenant people, but the Bible never limits God's rule or God's grace to Israel alone. The psalmist proclaims God's rule over all the nations and that he has a right to judge them, even if they refuse to acknowledge him. Psalm 9 says, "Arise, Lord, do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror. Lord, let the nations know that they are only mortal." Or Psalm 22, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Biblical reality declares that God is the Lord over all things because he has made all things, even us. And we must respond to him and his rule as creator. And we see this in verses 1 to 2. In one sense, verses 1 to 2 is the foundation of this idea. David proclaims in this psalm that the covenant God of Israel is the creator of everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Nothing and no one is excluded from this proclamation. David takes us right back to the beginning of creation when God established the world out of water for humanity to live in. We were created by God, for God. It is this reality that humanity must acknowledge and respond to. When the Apostle Paul was in Athens, he quoted one of their prophets to make the same point in Acts 17. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He himself gives life, everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole world. and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are his offsprings. But the problem is that we suppress this reality, this truth, and turn to idols. We make up idols out of our own ideology. As the Apostle Paul reminded the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And verse 25 says, they've exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. So we suppress the truth that God exists and that God created us. And the way we live reflects our view of reality. If we acknowledge God as Creator, then we will live and make choices in light of that reality. But if we refuse to acknowledge this reality and make up our own reality, then we will live and make choices in light of that. For the psalmist, David, God exists and he is the Creator. For the Christian who believes in the Bible, God exists and he is the Creator. Therefore, all our choices should be shaped by that reality. So this psalm starts with God as Creator, calling all of humanity, not just the Jews, to live under that reality. For the Jews, this was a reminder that their covenant God was not just a local God, but reigned over everything. And for the Christian, this is a reminder that our covenant God reigns over everything and everyone. There is no corner of this planet that God has not created and does not rule over. There is no person on this planet that God hasn't got a right over. Let us never limit God's rule, God's reign, as the world does. We need, in the midst of mass confusion, to call people back to the God who created them and call them to respond to this reality. And we do this by the way we live and the choices we make. Our ethics, our morals, our worldview should be shaped by this reality. Because God is the Creator, we value life from the womb to the tomb. We value the unborn and we value the elderly. Abortion and euthanasia is not compatible with the truth that God created all of life and that we are answerable to him for all our choices and actions. Since God is the Creator, we value God's creation. We don't abuse it, we care for it. We value God's gift of sex and honour God by enjoying it in marriage. We value the two genders, male and female, that God created, so we live as God purposed us to, for his glory. But also today, we know that the God who is the Creator is also the Redeemer. God, in the person of his Son Jesus, has stepped into this world to call it back to himself. So we are not only to call people back to God the Creator, but to God the Redeemer, God the Saviour, who was revealed by Jesus to this world and displayed God's love and grace to this world by going to the cross. We are told that the Son is the Creator of all things in Colossians chapter 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. We are also told that the Son upholds this planet in Hebrews chapter 1. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The Son is the one who keeps this planet turning. The Son is the one who keeps your heart beating. The Son is the one who keeps you breathing. Is this the reality that you live by? Or are we more shaped by the world, by the ideologies of the world? The psalmist calls us back to this reality, that God is the Creator. Because what you believe will shape how you live and the choices you make and what you do. For the psalmist and for the Christian who believes the Bible, this is the reality that we live by, not by our feelings, not by shaping society to fit our reality, but submitting to, acknowledging and embracing God's reality. And in verses 3 to 6 of this psalm, we're given a picture of the person who does embrace this truth, but also given encouragement by the promises that God makes to us. David asks two questions about the person. What type of person will live in light of this reality? What type of person will be accepted by God? He asks the question in verse 3, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? What he's asking is, who may enter into God's presence? Who will be welcomed by God? Who can be part of God's kingdom? And the answer is someone whose actions match their hearts. The person who actually trusts in the Lord alone and is loyal to him by their choices will live this way. As he says in verse 4, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They have clean hands and a pure heart because they are living in response to the reality that God rules and reigns. They worship God, the Lord Almighty, not idols or false gods or the philosophies or ideologies of the world. And this psalm is echoed in the words of Jesus when in Matthew 5:8 he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And the Beatitudes begin and end with God's rule and God's reign, his kingdom. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do we live in response to the reality that God rules as creator and as redeemer? Jesus came to call people to respond to God's kingdom, his rule, by trusting in him and turning away from themselves. The person who does this is promised. They will receive blessing. They will be vindicated or given righteousness, meaning that they will be justified or accepted by God in verses 5 and 6. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication. In Hebrew, that word can also be righteousness from God, their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. It is in Jesus that we are to seek the face of God, because in Jesus we see God's face turned towards us in love and mercy and grace. In seeking Jesus, we are acknowledging and embracing God's reality and rejecting any other that we might invent for ourselves or offered by our society. You see, it is through Jesus that we can ascend the hill of the Lord. It is through Jesus that we can stand in God's holy place. It is through Jesus that we receive blessing and righteousness. And so as we seek Jesus, we will find God. So this psalm declares to us a reality that this world wants to ignore or reject. Biblical reality declares that God is the creator. God is the saviour. And in verses 7 to 10, it declares that God is the King of glory. We have here before us a triumphal entry of the victorious King of glory. This King of glory has defeated the enemies of his people. This King has been victorious in battle. There is a call to rejoice and welcome this King of glory. And you can hear the joy and the excitement in the words as the dialogue between the person who asks the question, who is this King of glory, and the person who answers him. In verses 7 to 10, lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, let them up, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. The God who reigns as creator is now presented to us as the victorious King of glory. David may look back to the victories of God that he gave his people during the Exodus or in coming into the Promised Land. Maybe David is thinking about the victories that God gave him and Israel over their enemies. But I think this psalm points us to the greatest victory of the Lord in and through the Lord Jesus. He took on the powers of evil and defeated them. He took on death and defeated it. On the cross, the Lord Jesus has won our victory. He has won our freedom from the penalty of our sins. He has won our forgiveness from all our sins. By his resurrection, we are assured of our own justification, our own acceptance, and our future resurrection is a glorious victory that he has achieved. This psalm could be linked to Jesus' glorious reception as he ascended into heaven to sit at God's right hand and to rule as his King of glory over everything. But it could also be read and sung in anticipation of that glorious day when the Lord Jesus will return and bring in the kingdom of God, the rule of God forever for his people and for his creation. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:22 that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. But the Psalms tell us that on that day when Christ returned, the creation will sing in Psalm 98. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. The Lord Jesus has proven himself strong and mighty, mighty in battle against the forces of evil that we could never defeat. Will not his people, will not us, who embrace this reality, also sing and rejoice in that day? The prophet Isaiah tells us we will in Isaiah 25. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, we are to sing hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. This psalm declares that God reigns and rules as creator, as saviour and king. But we know he does that through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. This is God's reality now and for eternity. The question is, will you embrace it? Do you acknowledge it? Are you living this out? We can choose to ignore it and create our own reality and force the world and society to accommodate us. But one day we will be judged by the Lord Jesus for doing that. But if we acknowledge and embrace God's reality in Jesus Christ, then we'll be blessed. We will be vindicated when Jesus returns as the King of glory. Then we will sing with the rest of creation. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this psalm that challenges us with your reality, with your truth. Help us, Lord, not to be sucked in by the ideologies and the philosophies of this world. Help us to be able to live this out, and in living it out, be able to share the truth of who you are in the person and work of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, each and every one of us, to be grounded in your reality, in your truth, because that will last forever, so that on that great day, we will sing for joy as Christ returns. And we ask it in his name. Amen.